I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Life is full of what-ifs. Some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
This is Internet Marketing. Hello everyone and welcome to episode 126 of Internet Marketing, brought to you by Site Visibility at sitevisibility.com. I'm Andy White and I'm with
Mr. Kelvin Newman.
And today we are talking about Google Plus. Now Google Plus, Kelvin, yes. I have to say, it's relatively new-ish.
Yes.
There's a lot of talk about it.
Yep.
What do you make of it?
Well, so for people, I imagine many of you will have already heard about the Google Plus launch. But for those who might not have done, just a quick catch up. For a long time, Google have been trying to get their teeth into a proper social media service, a proper social media site. And they've had some moderate successes with that. They had Orkut, which is quite big in Brazil, and I think in some areas of the kind of the Middle East, but you know, didn't really have the headway, the cut through of sites like, you know, Facebook, Twitter, or even LinkedIn to any real extent. So there's a couple of things that they launched off the back of that. There was Google Wave, which was a weird sort of product that kind of was about collaboration and about social networking that didn't really, no one really knew what it did.
Real-time documents.
Yeah, and all that type of thing, which was quite interesting. I think it was developed out of their 20% time, so it's that ability that Google have to let people in their team spend one day a week on an interesting product. And I think with that approach, it was always we find it useful internally. Some people might find it useful externally and see what happens. Now, the problem with Wave was that I think it solved a very particular problem for a relatively small group of people. And if it had launched as a startup independently on its own, it might have grown a bit of a following and done quite well. But because it was from Google, it just got all this pressure, all this hype on it, and it just didn't live up to that. So that kind of slowly got pulled back in as well. So they then had probably what was the most obvious next second attempt at that was Buzz, Google Buzz, which was kind of intended to be very much a kind of Twitter-style status update program. And it was kind of built around this kind of notion of an implicit social network. So on the whole Facebook, LinkedIn and Twitter, there's a you have to connect to people. So there's a process of, it's opt-in, as it were. Now what they were trying to do with Buzz, and this is where it sort of backfired on them a bit, was that it was opt-out, as it were. So it went, okay, who are you emailing? So everyone who you email on your Gmail account, that's someone you want to be connected with on Buzz. And there are all kinds of that people didn't really like. They felt a bit kind of, you know, a bit sort of weird about it.
People got
that.
A bit leery, didn't they?
Yeah. And there were other privacy issues in there. So very quickly, there was a backlash on that. So Buzz, although it was kind of a fairly interesting product, the launch and handling of that went absolutely terribly. So, you know, that's the background. That's what Google were up to. But they still knew that they needed to do, make a play in the social space, because I think they're very aware that kind of from a strategic point of view, that Facebook and Twitter and LinkedIn, all these companies are growing, and you know, their investors want Google to have a part of that pie, even though they, you know, do very, very well already. And also there's a growing realization, I think, in the search team particularly, that it's getting harder and harder to ascertain which websites should be at the top of the search results based exclusively on the link graph. So I talk a lot about link building. And it's getting harder and harder for Google to use that as the only means of assessing which website should be the best, when actually probably social mentions are far more important. And Google has started to do that, but they've been reliant on third-party data, which is never something that Google really like. So they were, they were using what's known as the Twitter fire hose, so all the data that came from Twitter. Mm. And that was kind of a temporary relationship. Google had paid for that. That was coming to an end. Interestingly, came to an end at about the point in time when Plus launched, make the connection there. Google know that they needed to do this. And there's a really interesting article in Wired that I'll link to that was written about this whole process of them launching Plus. And I was actually initially quite sceptical of Plus, this new service that they've launched. But until I read this Wired article that talked about kind of how actually Google are really trying to change the way that they do business. And this is kind of fundamental to them. All the employees' bonuses are tied to it. The very top people in the company are really, really heavily invested in that. And, strategically, they see it as really important. So that's kind of a bit of the background. But what is Plus? Well, essentially, it's an approximation. It's a similar kind of service to Facebook, whereby it allows you to share status updates, photos, and content with a group of people who you have a social connection to. Now, I suppose their angle on that is the whole idea of circles, which is that Facebook, all of your friends fundamentally are created equally. That every friend is equal. And that's not really how proper relationships work. There's people who I know through work, there's people who I know from uni, there's people I know through school.
So circles are like groups then?
And that's, a lot of people have been critical of Plus. I said circles is just kind of an approximation of Facebook groups. But no one really uses Facebook groups. And if they do, they're in the minority. So the idea of this is that you can set people up and they can be in multiple circles. You can broadcast certain content to certain circles and not to other circles. So that's quite interesting. And it's actually quite graphically quite easy and interesting to, put people in those different groups. And also they've got a kind of a video chat functionality, which Facebook have kind of tried to usurp by announcing that they've got a deal with Skype to do the same. So
it was now owned by Windows, of course.
So
or even Microsoft.
So at the moment, there's not much really in Google Plus that you can't get in Facebook. But it's owned by Google rather than Facebook, which to some people gives it an additional level of trust because people trust Google that much more than Facebook. It's more simple. There's less kind of aggressive, well, there isn't advertising really, so it's less of that aggressive monetization that's going on there. And it ties into all the other Google services, the Gmail. And I think what will start to happen is you'll start to see more of these connections coming through. So if you've got a Blogger account, it might start to be integrated with Plus. If you've got a Picasa, their photo sharing site, it'll be pulling those in as well. So yeah, it's interesting to see them heading in this direction. At the moment, my problem with it is to a certain extent, the only people who are interested in it are my kind of geeky, gadgety SEO friends. Which means that it's the people who are using Twitter. So at the moment, the only people who are on my Google Plus account are the people I follow on Twitter. Okay. So really, at the moment, it's just Twitter, the friend group, the group I have on Twitter as social connections, but with the functionality of Facebook, which is, in its own right, quite useful. But I don't know many normal people in inverted commas who are using Plus at the moment. And I do sort of wonder why they would, because if they use Facebook already, I'm not sure what the compulsion is to
move.
Well,
this is the thing. It's well, I've got a million and one questions. Let's start with the first one. You mentioned that it was only your geeky friends that were on it. The question is it, I'm trying to remember the getting onto it model they've currently got. Do you have to be invited on, or is there like a waiting list?
Yeah, I mean, so they launched it with a limited beta where you could only get in by being invited by certain people.
Right.
And certain people had invites and they were quite hard to get hold of. I was quite fortunate that I managed by some fluke to get on quite early because a friend of a friend was someone who worked at Google and that type of thing.
I think I'm still waiting.
Have you not got one yet? Someone
invited me, but I'm not sure if I actually got on. I was on some sort of pending list, I think.
And now it's a little bit more open. So I think it's still by invite, but there's a lot more invites available. And this is kind, it's deliberate on Google's part because it's about load testing. It's about, this is still a beta product. It's not ready for everyone yet. But it's also, that's how Gmail worked. You know, for a long time, you can get a Gmail account without being invited to them. And it's deliberate. You know, that kind of scarcity adds to the value that you have of it. And if you've had to ask to be invited, then suddenly, you know, you've gone to that effort. Therefore, you're going to spend a bit more time, you know, setting up your profile, adding some friends, than you would have done if it wasn't seen as exclusive. So I think that exclusivity is deliberate. And it worked for Facebook as well. It was, for a long time, you couldn't get a Facebook account unless you had an academic email. Well, initially, if you had an academic email address at certain universities, then just universities, then they opened it up to anyone at that point.
So I think the big question is, does Google Plus, is it something that small businesses and businesses using internet marketing should look at? What's it got the others haven't?
Well, what they haven't done yet, and I think this is the kind of... So at the moment, should a small business or should a business be marketing themselves on Google Plus? Now, part of me says yes, because actually at the moment there's some PR in promoting, like Ford, you know, the motor company did very well out of, you know, we've done a Google Plus campaign. Look at us. Aren't we great and innovative and cutting edge? Now, I don't think the campaign actually did them any real value, but the PR of having done the campaign did them quite a lot of value.
Yeah, because there's a lot of buzz around it. Yeah.
So there's that angle. But Google haven't really, at the moment we're recording this, they haven't specified precisely how a business should present themselves on Google Plus. But what is widely anticipated to be how they're set up will be some kind of connection either to Google Places, so your Google local profile, or, and this is more my feeling than a general one, but I think a possibility, a Merchant Center account. So if you've got a Merchant Center account. So what probably Google are going to do is take the, if you're a company, you might already have a Google profile that you've set up so you can have a map listing, and I think they'll probably use that and bring that functionality into Google Plus. So,
and we talked about Google profiles before, haven't we? A few times, I think. Yeah.
So I think that would be the sensible way for them to do it, because at that point, Facebook and Twitter, you've got to go in and set up an account. Now, how many businesses do Google have listed on Places? Millions of businesses that are already listed there that they've either got because the company have gone in and set up the profile, which I imagine most of you listening will have done, or they've, you know, scraped it from the Yellow Pages or something like that. So if Google were to instantly create a business profile on Plus for all of these companies that already had Places listings, that's pretty compelling then, isn't it? So rather than actually wondering, does the local pub have a page on Facebook or Twitter, you would know on Plus that they already did. You know, so that's the way I'm anticipating that going. And then at that point, you can claim that business profile and, you know, then start updating Plus as that business. So at the moment, until that's fully confirmed, I don't think it's something that you know, most listeners need to worry about too much doing on their business, because they could spend all this time setting up a profile that then is no longer functional because Google will change how they want businesses to do it. But it is important, because if as an individual you go on now and you spend a couple of months familiarizing yourself with the service, getting to know it, getting to understand the foibles of it, what that means is then that when those business profiles are available, you hit the ground running, because you know how to use the system, you understand how circles work, you understand the, you know, equivalent of edge ranks, so the algorithm that determines where things appear on the Facebook newsfeed, how that works on Google Plus.
Have you heard about Sparks?
Sparks, yes. That's,
what are Sparks? Yeah.
So Sparks is another functionality that I've actually completely ignored in the Google Plus, but the idea of that is that under certain topics, Google will identify. So Plus is a means of getting content to you. It's either recommended by your friends or in the Sparks functionality by Google. Mm. And at the moment, that recommendation doesn't seem that sophisticated. But I think as they gain the data in the system, as they start to pull in some of the data they've got from the search-based products, that should get quite exciting. But it does seem to really favour video. So as a kind of content producer, video does very well on Sparks. So if I went to like SEO as a topic on Sparks, it showed videos that were sort of 9 months old, because they were videos. Mm. But like a blog post that was written in text, there were none that were more than a couple of months old. Mm. But then similarly, there's so much content produced, anything that's a couple of months old on SEO, I do sort of wonder, should it be in a Spark? But yeah. So basically, I would say to people...
I'm still trying to get my head around a Spark. What is a Spark?
Well, if you go to Spark, it's a topic area.
It's a topic area, yeah. Right? Okay.
So on the Google
Plus, is that sparking a conversation?
Yeah. So it's the kind of discovery of content. So say I am completely bored. I've got nothing to read online. I want to entertain myself. I'm signed into Google Plus. I click on Sparks. And then it will give me some suggestions of these types of topics. Oh. Now, I can specify those that I'm most interested in. So cycling's there by default, but I could put that in as a topic. I could put podcasting in as a topic. I could put Brighton in as a topic. I could put, New Balance trainers in as a topic. Do you know what I mean? Whatever those sparks are. And once I've got those sparks set up, Google will find and suggest content within those topic areas which it believes... you will find of interest. Now, the problem is the algorithm or system that they have at the moment for suggesting those things that you will find of interest isn't that sophisticated. Mm. So that's where the problem lies at the moment. But okay. I can only see it improving in that area.
Fantastic.
Cool. So yeah, I mean, to sum up really, I think if you've not got yourself an account, sign yourself up. If you've got yourself an account, use it. And if you've got that account, you're using it and you're still not sure whether it's worthwhile, you're not alone. A lot of us are still trying to suss out what it is. And I'm sure we'll come back to it if it takes off in future episodes. But I really just wanted to kind of talk a bit about kind of my assumptions about how it's working. Hopefully answer a few of those questions that people might have about it. And if people do have any questions about how to use Google Plus particularly, do drop us an email and ask us a question. That goes for any topic around internet marketing. But I'm particularly interested to hear people's thoughts, opinions and questions around Google Plus. So to do that, there's kind of two main ways of doing that. One is to tweet using the hashtag IMPC, which we do keep an eye on for people who are tweeting using that hashtag, or probably best to drop me an email. So that's Kelvin, so that's kelvin.newman at sitevisibility.com, and we'll include those in probably, if we get enough, a specific episode about Q&A about Google Plus, or part of a general Q&A in the future.
Yes, interaction please. We want plenty of interaction. And also don't forget that phone number that funny bloke says at the end.
Yes, of course you can leave us a voicemail message, which we'll include in the show. Me and Andy are absolutely terrible at remembering the phone number, but in less than 20 seconds you'll be able to hear that phone number.
Starts with a zero. Anyway, that's a wrap for today. So that's goodbye from me, Andy White.
And goodbye from me, Kelvin Newman.
And we'll see you next time on Internet Marketing. All the best. Well, that's it for today. Thank you so much for listening. You can find us on the internet at www.internetmarketingpodcast.org, where you'll find show notes, links, and instructions on how to subscribe. We would absolutely love to get feedback, comments, and questions from you. If you want to send an email, send it to kelvin.newman@sitevisibility.com. Also, feel free to comment on the website. And if you'd like to use our voiceline number, if you're outside of the UK, it's +44 1273 256 150. If you're inside the UK, it's 01273 256 150. And you can leave a voice comment or question and we'll play it on the show. Also, we would absolutely be delighted if you would give us a rating on iTunes itself. Well, that's it for now. Andy White is signing off until next week on Internet Marketing.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
My business used to be weighed down by the complexities of in-person payments. Then, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe came along and changed everything. With Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe, I streamline my payment process effortlessly. Now I can accept in-person, contactless payments right from my iPhone. No extra hardware required. What's truly remarkable is how I can cater to all of my customers' payment preferences. Whether they're using cards, Apple Pay, or other digital wallets, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe ensure a smooth checkout experience every time. And it's not just me. Stripe helps businesses of all sizes, from local markets to global retailers, scale quickly and stay agile. To learn how Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe can help grow your revenue and reach, visit stripe.com/tapiphone.